We've all heard about our economy being in transition. This means we are trying to recover from the easy money of the mining boom and replace jobs and work lost from that sector with new jobs from other sectors. One such sector is services. What will work look like in the services sector in the future? Roderick Chambers caught up with Dr. Jim Stanford, heading up the new Centre for Work at the Australia Institute, to find out.
Well, there's a number of factors that are changing work, some for the better, more for the worse, I would say. So the sad reality is I think that more and more Australians are going to have to fight hard to hang on to any kind of job and hopefully make it a decent job.
Are we just talking about hours, or are we talking about the types of things people are doing and the way that they're doing them?
Well, the two go together. The quality of work does depend quite a bit on what you do and what industry you work in. So for sure, if you happen to be in an industry that's higher productivity, that demands more skills and training from a typical worker, then you'll be in a better position to aim for a permanent job, full-time job with decent pay and entitlements. On the other hand, unfortunately, many of those jobs in industries like mining, manufacturing, and other sources of traditional good jobs are now shrinking in Australia. And it means more and more people are being pushed into part-time, lower-wage work, often in some of the less lucrative industries, things like hospitality, for example, or personal services. On the other hand, you know, even in those service sectors, we are still going to require people to do the job. And if we make a conscious decision as society that those jobs should be decent, we can lift the standards of pay and security in those jobs so that working in services isn't necessarily seen as a second-class position.
Well, services, I mean, I guess it depends on the type of services, but
yeah.
Services sector as such is something that the government's relying upon to take up some of the slack from the lost mining jobs. Do you see that the tech startups and all this sort of thing can actually take up that many people?
Unfortunately, the number of high-quality jobs being created in services is relatively limited. So we are seeing services being the source of most new work, but unfortunately, most of the new jobs being created right now are part-time jobs. In fact, 60% of the work created since the current government came to power are part-time positions, which are generally lower wage and generally much less secure in terms of their hours and scheduling. So again, there's nothing inherently good or bad about working in a services sector. If the job is decent and well-paid and secure, then working in services can be sufficient to support a family and have a good living standard. Unfortunately,
well,
most of the jobs being created in services today are not like that.
Because it's odd, isn't it, that we've got a housing bubble in places like Vancouver and Sydney and Melbourne, and yet people's wages aren't really increasing that much.
No, it's a sign that the housing prices are out of whack, is if you compare housing prices in any of those hot cities with the average income levels for people living there, then you realize, wait a minute, this cannot go on. The reality is most people living and working in this city cannot afford to pay that much for a house if they're buying it, and of course rents end up being dragged upwards as well. That's also a sign, obviously, that a lot of the buying of property in those cities is being undertaken by people who don't actually live there.
And is the Trudeau government in Canada taking a new approach on any of these problems?
The Trudeau government came to power in the Canadian election last fall in October, and it did represent, I think, a change in tone and a change in direction from the previous Conservative government. So the new government is, I think, changing some of the rules quite quickly. They've implemented some new labor reforms in the federal jurisdiction to improve job quality and protect workers. It will take some time, though, to try and lift standards across the whole economy.
Because we've just had a wage decision recently which have put our wages up into just over $17 as a minimum wage. I don't think wages are that high in Canada, are they?
No, the minimum wage, the statutory minimum, is lower. So the minimum wage is one area where I think Australia has an advantage, where you've done the right thing to ensure that there's a floor underneath the labor market. But, of course, there's many other indicators of job quality. And I think some of the areas where Australia falls down is the reliance on part-time work, which is very high compared to other countries. Another interesting point is the reliance on what goes down as self-employment. A lot of people setting up their own businesses, usually operated out of their home. They might not even be incorporated. They have no employees, but they're doing things like walking dogs or being personal trainers or doing other kind of odd jobs for people. And that shows up as self-employment, which is very high in Australia, but the quality and security of that work is quite poor as well.
Yeah, so when the Treasurer is talking about, you know, small businesses, he could be talking about people that are basically buying themselves a job.
You know, in Australia, the statistics indicate that 2 million people are self-employed. It's a very high proportion of the overall labor market. You know, and some of those people are running genuine businesses where they manage to get some capital and invest it and hire workers. But most of them have no employees at all. It's just them. And they're basically trying to find a way to support themselves, given that they're not able to find a decent paying job.
So what do you think is the best way forward then?
I think that the economy needs a combination of measures to increase the quantity of jobs that are available. So an emphasis on job creation by both the Commonwealth government and the state governments, encouraging more spending power and more job creation in the economy. But we also need measures to lift the quality of jobs, not just the quantity of jobs. And this means strengthening things like the national employment standards, making sure that they apply to people who are in self-employed positions or in contract jobs, and ensuring that people, if they want to, can join a union and improve their conditions through collective bargaining. Both the quantity and the quality of jobs have to be addressed.
Dr. Jim Stanford from the Centre of Work at the Australia Institute speaking to Roderick Chambers.